Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here today. I continue to be kind of a wet period. I thought we were going to get blessed and not get any water in our basement at the church building, but we had a little this morning seeping in through the ladies' bathroom. But I guess it's everywhere, right? Maybe you've had some water things at your house, and I hope not. But anyway, it's good to be here today. Good to be with you. We're in Daniel chapter 2 this morning, and it's kind of a longer passage of scripture, but we're going to read all of Daniel 2. The title of the message is Dream a Little Dream from Daniel chapter 2. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I had a dream. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servant the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The word from the Lord is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your house shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There's not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no king... No great or powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with men. Because dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we have asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went in and said to them, thus to him, Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and thus said to him, I found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, Are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king and said, No wise man, enchanter, magician, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the vision of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the other living, but in order that the interpretation may be known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. You saw, O king, and beheld a great image. The image, mighty and exceeding and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of the image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you stood, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on the feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell you, the king, its interpretation. You, O king, are the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the might, and the glory, and to whose hand he has given wherever they dwell, the children of men, the beasts of the field, and the birds of heaven, making you rule over them all. You are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom, but some of the firmness of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw our iron mixed with soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with the clay. And in those days, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom and that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all the kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from the mountain by no human hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to you, the king, what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly your God is a God of gods and Lord of kings and is a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal the mystery." Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. When I was about 30 years old, I began having reoccurring dreams, many nights in a row. In these dreams, I'd be playing basketball, and I had amazing skills. I could shoot the ball from anywhere on the court. I could slam dunk the ball over any opponent. I had amazing ball handling abilities and defensive skills. And in my dream, it didn't just happen once. It happened many times around the age of 30. In this recurring dream, I was as good or better than Michael Jordan was in those days. However, in spite of this reoccurring dream, I did not think this dream was a communication from God and resign as pastor and seek a tryout with the Chicago Bulls. I didn't do that. Even though I could do anything in my dreams, My actual shooting percentage was probably about 7%. So there are times in the Bible that God communicated to people through dreams. We read about that in Genesis when God communicated to Pharaoh about the coming worldwide famine. In the New Testament, we read how God spoke to Joseph, the husband of Mary, the stepfather of Jesus. And even today, I have heard stories of Muslims finding Christians to share the gospel with them after and coming to Christ after they had vivid dreams communicating that the truth was found in Jesus. God spoke, and maybe sometimes he continues to speak through dreams. That's not his normal way. Normally he speaks through the Word of God, but God can speak however he wants to speak to any of us. In Daniel 2, we read about God speaking to the leader of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, through a powerful dream. Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan king, and he followed many false gods. But when the true and living God wants to get a person's attention, he can get their attention. And God wanted to get Nebuchadnezzar's attention. Now, ancient kings placed great stock in their dreams. And most of their dreams, like most of our dreams, like most anybody's dreams, were not communications from God. But Nebuchadnezzar realized that this dream had been given to him by God, and it meant something, and he was seeking to find out what the dream meant. And so in Daniel 2, we see that God was working in this situation to help Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and us see a timeless truth that all of us should build our lives upon. And that timeless truth is this: the true and living God is truly forever the sovereign king of the entire universe, and ultimately all will acknowledge his rule. The true and living God is truly forever the sovereign king of the entire universe, and ultimately all will acknowledge his rule. Chapter 2, we can break it down into certain broad categories, and we can look and see how God worked to reveal himself and his power before others. First of all, we see this: God disturbs kings and kingdoms as he seeks to reveal his greatness to them. God disturbs kings and kingdoms as he seeks to reveal his greatness to them. Now, it tells us this was early in Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Nebuchadnezzar, his father, I think is Nabonidus, I think his father's name was. He died in around 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar was involved in the Battle of Carchemish, and soon after this, after the battle, Nebuchadnezzar came home, and he became the king of the Empire of Babylon, and he ruled more than 40 years. He had a long rule. And so early in his reign, he had a reoccurring, disturbing dream. And it uses the plural, if you notice. It says the plural dreams. He had dreams, and evidently this was a reoccurring dream he had often. And as I said, the leaders of the world often thought that God communicated to them, the gods communicated to them through their dreams. And so he was disturbed by this dream. And so he called in his advisors who thought they had or pretended to have contact with the spirit world through all kinds of occultic practices like astrology and witchcraft and communication with the dead. They thought they had or pretended to have practices that can interpret the dreams. And so oftentimes when people wanted to know a dream, they would tell these wise men the dream, and then the wise men would either interpret the symbols in the dream or make up some story about what the dream meant. And so the king called in his wise men to help him understand his dream. But Nebuchadnezzar, he determined that the only way that I can know if their interpretation is correct is if they share with me what the dream was that I had. They would not only have to interpret his dream, you know, and you know, you could tell me a dream and I could tell you it meant all kinds of things. But Nebuchadnezzar decided, I'm not going to tell them the dream. They're going to have to tell me what the dream was, and then I'll know that they can properly interpret it. And that's what he determined. They could not deceive the king with some made-up meaning if the king did this. Well, the wise men had never had anyone approach them in this way, and so they again tried to get the king to share his dream, but they refused. And then they protested and they said, "You're asking us to do something no man has ever done and no king has ever demanded." They said, "Only the gods could do this, and the gods don't dwell among men." And so they were stuck. Well, the king was so disturbed by this dream and their inability to help him interpret it that he ordered all the wise men of Babylon violently killed. It shows the kind of power that Nebuchadnezzar had in Babylon. He ordered all the wise men killed. So God disturbs kings and kingdoms as he seeks to reveal his greatness to them. There's something else we can learn from this passage of Scripture. God's servants seek understanding of problems and pray for God's solutions. God's servants... I went too far, didn't I? God's servants... I must have skipped one there. God's servants seek understanding of problems and pray for God's solutions. There it is. Thank you. Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that we read about in chapter 1, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were among the king's advisors, and they were to be executed. They were among the wise men. But you have to remember something. They were not privy to the king and his personal power. They were probably just barely out of their training program, probably under 20 years of age. But they were classed with the wise men of Babylon because that's what they were trained to do. And so the king's servant, Arioch, came to them and said, "You guys have been ordered to be executed." Wouldn't you like to have the advisor come and tell you that? "You guys have been ordered to be executed." And Daniel, it says, judiciously said, what's going on? You know, basically he said, what's happening here? And Arioch told him the situation. And then Daniel, in faith, this young believer, probably under 20 years of old, he went in and he asked permission that the king would give him some time so that he could come and interpret the dream. That was an act of faith, wasn't it? Daniel didn't know what the dream was, but he knew that God could help him to know what the dream was. And so even though he didn't know what he was going to say to the king, he said, give me just a little time, and so I will be able to interpret the king's dream. Well, Daniel, after he did this, he went into his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He called them together, and these four young men, remember, they were probably under 20 years of age. They prayed together, and they asked the God of heaven to reveal the dream and its meaning. It took faith to approach the king and say, "We'll interpret it." And then in faith, they sought God to save their lives and to reveal the dream to them. And the scripture says God answered their prayer and he gave Daniel a solution. This seems like an unsolvable problem. If you said to me, "Tell me what I dreamed last night," I couldn't have any idea what you dreamed last night. I might ask you what you ate and then make up something, but I wouldn't have any idea what you dreamed about. It seems like an unsolvable problem. And oftentimes, there are problems in our lives that we think are unsolvable and that have no solution. But we have to understand God has a solution for every problem. It might not be the solution we want, but God has a solution for every problem if we look to Him. You know, the old song, it's an old chorus. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know where it come from. I never even heard anybody sing it other than on a record. But the old chorus says, "Got any problems you think are unsolvable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things called impossible, and He can do what no other God can do. You see, Daniel knew that the God of heaven, the God that he served, could do what none of those other false gods could do. And he sought his face and he sought solution to a problem. He prayed for God's solution and God granted him a solution to the problem that he had. The third thing we see in this passage of Scripture is this. God's servants praised God for his sovereign rule and answered prayer. Now, God answered this prayer of Daniel, and it says Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He recognized this as an answered prayer, and he praised God. Daniel praised God for his wisdom and his ability to reveal truth to his servants. Daniel praised God that God was the sovereign ruler of the universe, that he changes times and season. And God, Daniel praised him that he sets up kings and brings them down whenever he so chooses and so wants to do. We often think world history is random, that has just chaotic. But God raises up rulers and he brings them down. And Daniel confessed this and he confessed it to God. What the pagan advisors to the king could not do because the gods they served were not gods at all, God does through his servant Daniel. God reveals his plans and purposes and speaks to kings his plans and truth. It might look as if powerful human rulers are in control, but the sovereign God of the universe rules and answers prayers and determines the course of men and nations. You know, oftentimes when God answers our prayers, we often forget to acknowledge his answers. We're often so excited about the answer to the prayer that we don't thank God that he answered our prayers. And, if anybody was under time pressure, I think it was Daniel. The king's going to execute all the wise men in Babylon. But in spite of this, when God answered his prayer and when God gave him understanding, God in the night gave him a vision of the king's dream, he took time to thank him and praise him, and so should we. There's always time for praise and thanksgiving. And so God's servants praise God for his sovereign rule and answer prayer. And then the next thing we see in this is that God's servants witness to the honor of the true and living God before the skeptical world and its leaders. God's servants witness to the honor of the true and living God before the skeptical world and its witness and its leaders. Now Daniel told Arioch, the king's advisor, that he would show the king's dreams. So Arioch went into the king, and Arioch said, I found a guy. He wanted to take credit for finding Daniel that can interpret this dream. I found a guy that can reveal the dream and its meaning to Nebuchadnezzar. And so the king brought in Daniel. Now remember, Daniel was not an old wise guy with the big long beard. He was a kid. He was 20 years old. Maybe you say, I'm 20 years old, I'm not a kid. Well, when you're 60, you guys look like kids to me. But anyway, that's another thing. But he was this young guy. And so the king, I think he probably looked at Daniel and he said, Who is this kid coming to me? And he says, cynically, are you able to make known to me the dream and its meaning? And Daniel, in humility, said, no kind of wise man could reveal to you what you're asking. But he said, but there is a God in heaven that reveals mysteries. And this God has shown Nebuchadnezzar what he's going to do in the latter days. God shown Nebuchadnezzar kind of the history of the world in a nutshell. Daniel explained there's nothing special about him. He wasn't any wiser than the other wise men of Babylon. But the thing that made him different was that the true and living God of the universe had spoken to him and revealed this to him. The thing that was different with Daniel is the God he served. And so Daniel witnessed to this world leader, the most powerful man in the world at the time, of the true and the living God. You see, God's servants witness to and honor the true and living God before the skeptical world and its leaders. There's something else I want you to see in this passage of Scripture. God's servants share God's revelation and truth with the skeptical world and its leaders. Now, Daniel told the king it's the dream and its meaning. He said, you know, the king, you saw a big statue, a big gold statue. It had it was a dazzling image of a man with a fine gold head, chest and arms of silver, thighs of bronze, legs of iron, and feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And he said, King, as you were staring at this dazzling image, a stone not cut by human hands struck the image on its feet, of iron and clay, and broke the image in pieces. And then something happened. It didn't just break it into pieces, but the image basically dissolved into dust, into chaff. And the fine dust just blew away. It was gone and forgotten. But he said the stone that struck the image grew and became a great mountain which filled the earth. So that was the dream. That was the dream. And then Daniel said, this is the meaning of the dream. And so he told Nebuchadnezzar, first of all, he was the head of gold. He was the most powerful man in the world, and the sovereign God of the universe had given him a worldwide empire where men and even beasts were under his authority. Daniel wanted Nebuchadnezzar to understand his empire was not as a result of his being the greatest soldier in the world or the wisest man in the world. His empire was entrusted to him because of the authority of Almighty God. The sovereign God of the universe had given him this empire. God had done this, and it did not happen by his own power or ingenuity. Daniel says, after you, who was represented by the head of gold, the chest and the arms of silver, that's going to be another kingdom. And this other kingdom would come and rule the world. God was prophetically revealing to Nebuchadnezzar kind of a chain of world history. And most scholars believe this was the Medes and the Persians that came after Babylon fell. The Medes and the Persians ruled about 200 years, and in fact Daniel was part of the reign of Cyrus, who was the leader of the Medes and the Persians. And so this was the kingdom that was represented by the silver arms and chest. Then he said the third kingdom of bronze would come after the Medes and the Persians. And this prophetic word is believed by most scholars to be Alexander the Great and the Greek kingdom that ruled after the Medes and the Persians. Alexander the Great. And so Alexander the Great, he extended a worldwide kingdom probably further than any other kingdom that existed unto that time. And after Alexander the Great, after that Greek kingdom, there was a fourth kingdom that would come, would be as strong as iron and ruling harshly and brutally. Now, I want to just say one thing about the interpretation here. If you read some commentaries, you'll read some scholars that do not believe in prophetic prophecy and think this was all written after. It happened. Most traditional biblical scholars believe that the book of Daniel was written around 600 B.C., you know, the time of Daniel, just a little bit after that time. And there are scholars who would differently interpret this. But the truth of the matter is, when it talks about the coming of the king, the rock that destroys all other men, it has to be the prophetic word of God that talks about the coming of his kingdom that will never end. And so anyway, if you read some commentaries, you'll read others who basically it started about the beginning of the 1800s that people who didn't believe in the authority of the word of God and who wanted to take away the power of predictive prophecy began to say that Daniel was written about 165 B.C., I'm not going to go into all the reasons I think Daniel wasn't written in 165 B.C., but I'm just telling you in case you want to read a little bit about this. And understand that, you know, some people you read do not have a high view of Scripture. And you always have to be careful about when you read biblical scholars. Because some of them believe the Bible, and there are many of them that really do not believe the Bible and discount things like predictive prophecy. Anyway, there's the fourth kingdom, ruling strong as iron and ruling harshly and brutally. It would be strong, but it would have many internal weaknesses, and it'd be represented, the internal weaknesses were represented by the feet of iron mixed with clay. Most believe that this was the Roman Empire, which ruled after Greece. And in some ways, some people believe that this is kind of an extension to the end of world history. Some people believe that. In the days of the fourth kingdom, it says, God will establish his kingdom. In the days of the Roman Empire, when Caesar Augustus was the emperor, all the world was taxed. You remember that from Luke chapter 2? All the world was taxed. And so God sent Jesus in the middle of this last empire, and he is the king, that his kingdom has begun, but one day his king will destroy all the other kingdoms that ever existed. It will not be built on those kingdoms, and he will rule and reign as the sovereign ruler of the universe forever and ever and ever. This is the eternal kingdom that will never be destroyed. This fourth kingdom, the kingdom of iron, which was brutal, which ruled harshly, will be destroyed, and the kingdom of God, and Jesus will come again and destroy every other earthly power and rule, and he will reign forever and ever. You see what's happening here? You see, as you look at this passage, what's happening? The most powerful ruler of the world up until that time, and every future world ruler, God tells them he alone is the sovereign God. He alone is the sovereign ruler of this universe. It looked like to Nebuchadnezzar that the God of Israel had been defeated. But God was saying to Nebuchadnezzar and to every other ruler, he is ruling right now, and one day his rule will be unchallenged, and his kingdom will occupy every part of his universe. The God of the universe will break into history and begin to rule as people believe in and trust him, and he is establishing his rule now, not built on any human foundation, but on the rock of Jesus Christ. And one day, he will destroy all earthly rule and reign forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, God's servants share God's revelation and truth with the skeptical world and its leaders. You know, we live in a world now where men think they're going to rule forever. But God's going to rule forever. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who died for us and rose again, ascended to heaven, one day is going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will be the only king. He will be the ruling king of this universe forever and ever and ever. As Daniel finishes, Nebuchadnezzar realized Daniel's God was above all gods. Only God could reveal this. And so Nebuchadnezzar, you know, kind of confesses God. He didn't really give us his all his other pagan deities, but he realized that God was working through his servant and doing things through Daniel that no other god could or would do. And so the true and living God was revealing himself to Nebuchadnezzar and those Babylonians as the sovereign king of the universe and ultimately as the one who will rule forever and ever. The God of Israel, who revealed himself to us and saved us from our sin in Christ Jesus, was showing that he alone is God. The true and living God is truly forever the sovereign king of the entire universe. And ultimately, all will acknowledge his rule. He has given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It will happen someday. Have you acknowledged the true and living God as the sovereign ruler of the universe and the sovereign Lord of your life? Have you trusted in him today? You see, just as God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar 2,600 years ago to reveal himself to Nebuchadnezzar. He's speaking through his word to reveal himself to you and me and to people today, that we might believe and trust him. And maybe today, this true and living God wants you to acknowledge Jesus as the ruler and the Lord of your life for the first time. And if you've never given yourself and your life to him, would you do that today? Would you do that today? Would you put your faith in him? Would you say, Lord, I'm tired of running my own life, and I want to give my life to you, and I want you to be the ruler and Lord of my life. I know you died to save me. I know you died so my sins could be forgiven. I believe you rose again, and I'm going to put my life in your hands, and I'm going to trust you beginning today with my life. Maybe today you've already trusted the Lord with your life, but there are certain circumstances or problems that just seem overwhelming to you. And God wants to take care of those things too. He wants to help you in those areas, because no problem is unsolvable to him. Things that seem overwhelming to us are not overwhelming to God. Will you trust him today with that unsolvable problem or that impassable mountain? You see, it is true. God can do what no other God can do. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you that you are the sovereign ruler of the universe, and that one day every human government, every human authority will be destroyed, and you will reign forever and ever. And your people will reign under you, and you will work through them. But Lord, you are the true ruler and the king and the sovereign Lord of the universe. I pray that we realize that we need to submit our very selves every day to you. I pray that there's someone here that's never given their life to Christ and trusted him with their life, that they would do that today. And I pray that if there's someone here that's got a difficulty that just seems overwhelming to them, that by your grace that you'd enable them to trust you with that thing. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for what you want to do in our lives. Draw us near to yourself today. In Jesus' name, amen.